Right? It starts in prayer and declaration, because the Word of God is perfect. The Word of God changes lives, amen, through the Holy Spirit. It's still the only way you can have a life that is full of joy and peace and strength. Doesn't matter what's going on in the country, whether it was 100 years ago, 50 years ago, 20 years from now, the only way we can have peace is through Jesus Christ, amen. Do you love the Lord tonight? Amen. I forgot my notes. They're over here. Amen and amen. You know, when you get on a Wednesday night and you get to come together and you get to worship, that is awesome together. Amen? The power of worship. You know, Satan hates worship. And he knows all about worship. They say that he was the one that led worship in heaven. They say he would open his mouth and from his lungs would come the sound of instruments. Wow, leading worship. Lucifer, amen, who lost his place in heaven, rebelled against God, kicked out of heaven with what they say was many believe was a third of the angels. Amen. So he knows all about the power of worship. Right now in the throne room, they're worshiping. Seraphims, right? And angels, creatures that we have no way to even explain or know what they're called on earth, but they're worshiping around the throne room. And our connection, being seated with Christ in heavenly places, is worshiping. Prayer. Amen. Back and forth. And when we got this back and forth, and it's this way, amen, through his Holy Spirit, amen, one to one another. Thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. I love that word, amen. So be it. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So we are, does anybody know what session we're on? 32. It's waiting for somebody to say bingo. Just kidding. I don't play bingo, I promise. Actually, many, many years ago, me and Gina used to help run a bingo. We bingo time at a retirement home. Remember that? Like, that's why I said hi, Gina. You weren't listening. Yeah. Amen. So we're in John's session 32. We're in John chapter 5, and we're going to start with verse 18. Amen. John chapter 5, verse 18. Can you get me a water, hon? Would you mind if I could get thank you, sir. So John chapter 5, verse 18. For this reason, therefore, the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him. Who? Kill who? Kill Jesus. Because Jesus not only was breaking the Sabbath, remember we talked about the Sabbath and the rest last week, but also was calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. I heard that, Aunt Bobby. Just messing with you. For this reason, therefore, the Jews were seeking them all the more to kill him. Just think of this, because not only was he breaking the Sabbath, which they were very upset, we talked about that in the last couple of weeks in great detail, but also was calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Amen. Do you believe that Jesus not only is the Son of God, but that he is God? There's many religions. Matter of fact, we'll talk about it a little bit, but there's many false religions or cults that they'll have, you know, God may be the Son of God, or he might be part God, but they will say that, no, he's not equal with God, which, when you think about that, starts to diminish the power, really, what it comes down to, the power of the cross. If you think about all the different religions, it's all working your way to get to heaven. Do you agree with that? How many know that the power of the cross is such that he, just the cross alone, putting our faith in that, is what washes our sins completely away? Amen? So the whole struggle on earth and man-made religion is this, is Jesus God? Is Jesus equal with God? So what about Jesus being God or equal with God? So I want to start with some verses. I want to go through some verses tonight with you, okay? Can we keep you awake for 25 minutes, more minutes? Amen? So what about Jesus being equal with God? So Mark chapter 2, verses 5 through 11, we're going to read some scripture. And Jesus, seeing their faith, so the paralytic, remember, this is the story of the paralytic being down, let down through the roof. His friends letting him down through the roof. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Verse 6. But some of the scribes were sitting there and thinking it over in their hearts. Why does this man, they're saying this in their minds, why does this man speak that way? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins except God alone? Verse 8, immediately Jesus, aware in his spirit that they were thinking that way within themselves, said to them, "Why are you thinking about these things in your hearts?" So they're thinking, and he's going to start asking questions. Notice that when Jesus asks a question in the Bible, he's actually using that for an opportunity to teach or to make a point. And says, immediately Jesus, where in his spirit, said, "Why are you thinking these things in your heart?" Verse 9, which is easier to say to the paralyzed man, "Your sins are forgiven," or to say, "Get up and pick up your pallet and walk"? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralyzed man, "I say to you, get up, pick up your pallet, and go home." Amen. So the first thing that we're talking about is Jesus God. This speaks of Jesus' authority. Jesus saying, "I have the authority to forgive sins on earth." And he said, which is it easier for me to say that your sins are forgiven, or to pick up your mat and go home? Did you know it's the same power either way to forgive sins or to heal that man right there at that time? So the first thing is Jesus' authority. Jesus spoke with authority. And look, it says, and Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." And I just want to say that as we've been praying, hopefully you took the time to pray for somebody specific tonight, or maybe a couple of people. And Jesus said, seeing their faith, his friends, said to the man that was sick, "Your sins are forgiven." Amen. And so my point here is my prayer, Lord, I'm thanking Jesus right now, said, "Thank you for the sins that are going to be forgiven in the future for that individual I'm praying for." Not only are you protecting them and keeping them, but there's coming a day where they're going to say, "Jesus, forgive my sins." So I'm declaring that and speaking it right now in the name of Jesus. I don't know when I'll see it, how it'll happen. Eddie, your grandma didn't know what she was praying for, but we know now. And so see, this has to go back to this, where we were at this memorial and there was all these people here. And this pastor had been in this church for 40 years. And known all of Eddie's family, knew his grandmother and everything. And I was just so impressed because he was not only doing a memorial message, but boy, he was preaching the gospel. He was preaching the gospel. And somebody raised their hand during that. I'm telling you, that altar, during that time, I couldn't tell Eddie who rose their hand, but somebody rose their hand and said, "I'd like to accept Jesus Christ." So right immediately, I just started praying and said, "Lord, let that seed remain in Jesus' name. Let that not be stolen by the enemy." See, that's life or death. There is a heaven and there is a hell. There is life and there is death. And my prayer is when whoever that young man was that shot his hand up, I said, "Thank you, Lord, that eternal life will not be stolen from him." Because that's the power of prayer. Why did I say that little prayer? Because I know the power of prayer. That minute seeing that, saying, "Lord, let that seed remain. Thank you, the enemy cannot rob it. Thank you that whoever that young man is, that he's going to change the world around him in his sphere of influence." He came up to a memorial for somebody who passed away, family, a friend, and I believe left born again. He was not expecting that. And I'm sure somebody had been praying for that young man. Maybe even in that church that had been there so many years. So this motive speaks of Jesus' authority. And I love that also. I think of the scripture, it comes to mind that Jesus said, "I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpion and all the power of the enemy." That's the purpose of prayer. I have given you, he's saying, "I have given my authority to you to trample on snakes and scorpions," which is what? The power of Satan. Demonic foes, is I've given you authority. We pray. Ever thought, why do we have to pray? Because God has given us dominion on this earth. Amen. He's given us authority. So we're on his team. There's two teams. Did you know that? There's God's team through Jesus Christ, and everything else is some form of darkness or lie. A lot of people get upset about that. A lot of people will shun that. But the truth is, when Jesus said, I am the only way, the only truth, and the only life, he meant it. He said, when he says, I am the door, and nobody comes to the Father but through me, he meant it. Amen. He meant it. Amen and amen. So he said, I have authority to forgive sins. Then what he do? He gave us the authority to say, Jesus, forgive me my sins. And he washes us clean by faith. He saw the faith of his friends and turned to that young man and said, your sins are forgiven. And just like that, saying, Lord, thank you for seeing my faith and your 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 faith, for praying for somebody that's going to make that decision, who's backslidden or in darkness, is going to come to the marvelous light because of the prayer of the saints. Amen? Amen and amen. Amen. That's good stuff. John chapter 8. We're going to continue. So then we're also going to talk about this speaks of Jesus. These scriptures I'm going to read, this speaks of Jesus' existence before he was born. I know I'm preaching to the choir here, but I just want to remind you the deity of Jesus Christ. Amen? John 8, 56 through 59 says, your father Abraham was overjoyed that he would see my day. And he saw it and rejoiced. So the Jews said to him, talking to Jesus, you're not yet 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham? You could imagine that conversation going on, can't you? Amen. Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am. And just like God said to Moses, when he said, who shall I say sent them? I am that I am sent you. Jesus was there. Jesus was there at the burning bush. For all I know, Jesus was the burning bush that Moses saw when he was traveling, just doing his own thing. He had been gone from Egypt for 40 years, and all of a sudden he sees this burning bush. He goes to check it out. God starts speaking to him, telling him what he's going to do to be a deliverer to Israel. And he says, who should I say sent me? I am that I am. Before Abraham was born, I am. See, he didn't come to earth as a man. He did not come to earth as a man. He came in the body of a man, but he did not come for the purposes of man. He came in the body being 100% God, 100% man. And one purpose was not only to break the power of the enemy, but to shed his blood on the cross for the sins of the entire world, that you and I, 2,000 years later, are sitting here talking about the Lord Jesus, that he's going to return again. And if you're thinking in your mind it's been 2,000 years, well, remember the scripture. I always say, to God, a day is 1,000 years, and a 1,000 years as is a day. One of these days, he's returning. Amen? Are you ready to see him face to face? You just have to put your trust and faith with him. Say, I believe you're God. I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died for my sins. I ask your Holy Spirit to come and live in me and live in me. I want to pursue the purpose you have for me. Hallelujah. That's exciting stuff. Amen. Before Abraham was, I am. Therefore, they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and left the temple grounds. So when he says, I was there before he was there, they didn't like that, did they? So this speaks of Jesus' existence before he was born. Amen? Let's continue on. So Isaiah 7:14 says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son. You know this scripture, right? And she will name him, or Mary, we know. Mary will name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. What is this saying, Emmanuel? Is this God in the flesh, or is it superhuman? No, it was God in the flesh. It wasn't a mega God. It wasn't a type of God. It was the one and only God, his son, born of flesh in a body. Amen? Let's continue on. Jesus starts saying, where Jesus says himself, I am the Son of God. Luke 22, 66 through 71. And it says, when it was day, the council of elders of the people assembled, both chief priests and scribes, and they led him away to their council chamber, saying, this is when Jesus was arrested, And he came before the chief priest. If you are the Christ, tell us. They were saying, if you're the Christ, tell us. But he said to them, if I tell you, you will not believe. 68, and if I ask a question, you will not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the power of God. Amen? And they all said, so you are the Son of God? And he said to them, you say correctly that I am. There's that word again. I am that I am. Amen. I am the Son of God. I am the way. Amen. So he's saying right there, I am him that you have been looking for. The one you've been reading about, searching for in the scriptures, pursuing. I am he, but you can't see me. Your blindness. You don't see that I am him. I am the am that I am. And they said to him, what further need do we have of testimony? For we have heard it ourselves from his own mouth that Jesus says, I am the Son of God. Amen. Romans, a few more scriptures. You love the Bible, amen? Let the word of God just wash over you. Romans 5, 4 and 5 said, they are Israelites, and to them belong the adult. Talking about the Israel, at this time, Paul is talking about the Israelites, and he's talking about the Israelites being the children of God. He's talking about the adoption of us, the remainder, Gentiles being a part of that same body. So he said, they are Israelites, and to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, and giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. To them belong the patriarchs, and from their race, according to the flesh, is the Christ, who is God. Who is Christ? The God over all. Blessed forever. Amen. Jesus is God. Amen. If there's anything, there's a spirit of Antichrist in the world that just tries to eat at that, tries to an undergirding, tries to your foundation, to work at your foundation. And the whole thing of this thing that the enemy's trying to do to undermine you is to have you and I doubt the deed of Jesus Christ. Jesus is God. Jesus is the only way. Jesus is the only way your sins can be forgiven. There is no good that you can do to be righteous enough to stand before God and say, and him say, you are innocent. You need an advocate. It only comes one way, through Jesus, who is God over all. Hallelujah. Let's read a few more. Titus 2, 11 and 14. We're making tracks. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. Hallelujah. Who loves the grace of God? Amen. What's this grace do? Let me read the next scripture. Training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age. That's more important today than ever, saints. For people to see the power of God at work in you and I, having changed our lives. Amen. Did I say you're perfect? No. But have you been changed? Hallelujah. Yes, you have. Yes, you have. Amen. Waiting for our blessed hope and appearing of the glory of our great, who's this? For the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Who's our God, does it say there? Great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. See, the zealous for good works comes from the Holy Spirit, the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit within your heart. Amen. The great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. I don't want to get ahead of myself because I was getting ready to do that. A couple more scriptures. 2 Peter 1:1 says this, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. See, we know through the different religions of the world that Jesus' deity is always being challenged. Is he God? Not only is he the Son of God, but he's equal with God. Did you know that? Well, we'll talk about authority, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, the Godhead, but he is no less God than God the Father. And then what we'll talk about a little bit more later if we get there is the God, the Holy Spirit. Amen. See, you have Islam. You've heard of Islam? I pray God would save the people that are in Islam, a false cult religion. Why is it that it's false? Why is it false? So Muslims do not believe that Jesus is the Son of God. It's just they don't believe Jesus is God. A critically important distinction between Muslims and Christian views of Jesus is this: Muslims believe and revere Jesus as an important prophet, but he is not God. He's not the way to salvation. They don't believe in the cross of Jesus washing your sins away. They don't believe in the deity of Jesus. They believe Jesus is a good man, but they don't believe he is God. So my question to you tonight, do you believe Jesus is a good man, or do you believe he is God? Amen. Amen and amen. I believe he's God. How about the Jehovah Witnesses? I'm telling you, God loves all these people, but he wants to bring him into the light. I'm not mentioning these things to bang on people. I'm mentioning these things because God wants to bring people into his light. Jehovah's Witnesses, Jesus is not God. God created Jesus. He is the Son of God, but God created him. They do not believe in the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They believe Jesus was raised as a spirit, not in the flesh. So this is called Gnostics, taught that Jesus did not raise from the dead in the flesh, but in the spirit. That diminishes the power of being raised from the dead. It'd be like you if you died and you arose, people have been raised from the dead, amen? We know people, God has raised people from the dead, but they were raised in their flesh, amen? They didn't raise in a spirit and they're like, who are you? No, they were raised in their flesh. Same thing with Jesus. He was raised in his flesh from the dead. Luke 24, 36 through 40 is a very important scripture for this. And this is when Jesus had died, he had risen again, And I don't know if this is the first time he appeared to them. I think it is to the disciples. Luke 24, 36 says, as they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, peace to you. But they were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit. And he said to them, why are you troubled and why do you doubt? Why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet. That it is I, myself. Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. Amen. Jesus was raised from the dead in the flesh. Now, he had a different flesh. He could eat and he could walk through walls. Remember, he could do all of that. But he was still raised from the dead in the flesh, a glorified body. But his body that had the nails in it, and his hands and his feet that received the whipping on his back, that he was whipped for our sins, he was whipped for our sicknesses, right, amen? He was whipped for our vexings and our mind and our soul. That's why he received the stripes on his back. He had a crown of thorns put on his head, amen? So Jesus was raised from the dead, but yet he carries those scars for eternity to show the price that he paid for you and I. Jesus being raised from the dead in the flesh. See, if you say it was just a spirit, man, it diminishes the power of God. No, he still has that same body. Remember Thomas said, I won't believe unless I see his hands, unless I can put my fingers in his hands. And what did Jesus do? He said, come here, Thomas, see. He says, you believe because you saw. But Jesus said this then. He said, but blessed are those that are going to come after you that will not see me in the flesh, but yet they believe. How about you? I'm one of those that believe with all my heart. Oh, how he changes lives. Amen. Let me talk about this. Mormonism denies the doctrines that make Christianity what it is. And it substitutes their new and different doctrines that are not taught in the Bible. For example, the Bible says there's only one God in all existence. Isaiah chapter 43, Isaiah chapter 44, Isaiah chapter 45. There's scriptures on and on. But Mormonism says there are many gods. Mormon doctrine, page 163. They, the God said, let there be light, and there was light. So they believe that God said that. Am I making any sense? In the book of Abraham, they have their own story of how the world was created through gods, not one God, to the God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, but through multiple gods. Furthermore, Mormonism teaches that the Trinity is three separate gods, Articles of Faith by James Talmage, page 35, and that salvation is attained through obedience to the law and doing good works. In fact, in their book of Doctrines of Salvations, volume 1, page 188, it says there is no salvation without accepting Joseph Smith as a prophet of God. Joseph Smith, of course, is the founder of Mormonism. So for you and I as Christians, we believe that Joseph Smith is a fraud, an absolute fraud. He did not receive any golden tablets from an angel. Amen. If you look at, he had multiple wives. He was a pervert. He was in and out of jail. The things that he started was actually for his own perverted sexual pleasures is where Mormonism began. Amen. That's the spirit behind Mormonism. And it's changed through the years. But the thing is, it's a cult. Let me say this. I believe there's people in a Mormon church in different churches. They love Jesus. They may not know. Jesus is the one that's going to judge people, but it's only by putting faith in Jesus Christ. So let me say this. I'm not saying that everybody that sits in a Mormon church is going to hell. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is what they believe. What I'm telling what they believe. If you don't believe that Joseph Smith is a prophet of God, then there's no eternal life in you. And what I'm saying is that he is a fraud. He did not have a revelation of God. There's no other testimony of Jesus Christ like the Book of Mormon. The last testament came forth in the New Testament through his apostles, amen? The New Testament, everything we need as far as revelation of who Jesus Christ is, we have already. Boy, what we need is revelation of what we already have in the Word of God. There's so much truth and revelation for us in the Word of God now, amen? So we know that even Paul says, hey, that Satan comes as an angel of light to deceive people. So we have these cults. We have different things that are in that Satan deceives people, trying to pull. What does it do? To pull them away from the deity of Jesus Christ. To pull them away from the power of the gospel. See, the gospel is simple. But what Paul, the gospel is simple. Jesus shed his blood for you. He was God in the flesh. He died. Amen. He was put in the ground. 3 days later, he rose from the dead. He went up to the right hand of the Father, and he's returning again. If thou shalt confess the Lord Jesus in your heart, with your mouth, and believe in your heart that he was raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It is faith in Jesus, who is God, being raised from the dead, that saves us. Anything that diminishes the gospel is a lying spirit. There's no amount of works. There's no amount of good behaviors you can do that can have you stand before God and say, hey, was it good enough? Do the scales weigh in my half? No. The Word of God says, for all has sinned to come short of the glory of God. The Word of God says that my righteousness is as filthy rags. Amen? And I exchange the righteousness of Jesus Christ, of what he did on the cross for me, saying, I believe that, and his righteousness becomes mine. Amen? That's good news. So cults and Christian religion, cults and other religions always downplay the finished work of the cross in God's grace through Jesus Christ to make a person righteous. Remember our righteousness. I've said this like filthy rags. God came in the flesh to redeem us. Amen. I love this. This is a powerful scripture. We may stop here. Isaiah chapter 64. No, this is not the one I'm thinking of, actually, Bill. But I'm going to read it anyway. We have all become like one who is unclean. I just said this. And all our righteous deeds are like polluted garments. This is in Isaiah. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. Verse 7, there's no one who calls upon your name, who rouses himself to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have made us melt in the hand of our iniquities. But now, Lord, but see, when he said, but now, Lord, he's talking about now. He's talking after the cross. But now is the day of salvation. You know that scripture too, amen? But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hand, amen? Many false religions deny the Trinity, God in three persons. This is the one. I love this scripture. Listen to this with me, saints. Isaiah 48:16. You still got 2 minutes in you? This is Jesus. This is Jesus talking in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 48, verse 16 says, come near to me. He's calling us, saints. Come near to me. He said, listen to this. From the beginning, I have not spoken in secret. From the time it took place, I was there. And now the Lord God has sent me, this is Jesus, and his Spirit. He sent me. I was baptized, maybe he was baptized by John the Baptist, and then the Holy Spirit descended upon him, right? And God said, this is my Son, who I'm well pleased. So this is what Jesus is saying, come near to me, amen? Remember that I paid the price for you. Remember the power I have in my prayers. Don't give up or give in. There's nothing in you yourself that can make, that can please me. It's your faith in what I did for you. That's what pleases me. I accomplished and did it all for you. I am the God. I am who I am. I am the great I am. Amen. That is God. Matthew 20, 18 and 19. I got to read a couple of more. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of what? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's hard to explain, but there's God the Father. Amen? He is God. He is perfect. There's God the Son. He is God. He is perfect. And there's God the Holy Spirit who is here on earth. He is God. He is perfect. He's the one that when you accept Christ as your Savior, comes to live inside you, the Holy Spirit. Amen? Three individuals, one God. Amen? Make sure I get that right, right? Let me just say this a couple of minutes. We see authority and think one is less than another. Or with authority, there isn't perfect harmony. Or we see on earth battles of authority, don't we? But see, even though God is the authority, God the Father, he's the head, right? But the authority he has and the harmony he has with his Son and with the Holy Spirit is perfect. See, it's really even hard to understand authority on earth, don't we? We think of authority, and a lot of times we'll think we're less than somebody else, or maybe our position is not as important as somebody else's, so we think we're less than. No, that's not at all. Matter of fact, God says, hey, Jesus gave his life, and I've given him a name that's above every name. He says, I am God the Father. And even Jesus said, I don't know when I'll return. Only God the Father knows that. But God, being such a person he was, says, look at what Jesus accomplished. I'm giving him a name that's above every name. He said, every name's going to bow to Jesus. So the authority that there is in heaven between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit is perfect. There's no arguments. The Holy Spirit loves to glorify Jesus. The Holy Spirit loves to glorify Jesus. He loves when we pray in the name of Jesus. The Holy Spirit goes to work. He's not looking for any recognition. He's looking to display his power when people speak the name of Jesus. The Holy Spirit's never saying, what about me? What about me? What about me? I'm a person too. I'm powerful. No, we know that the Holy Spirit is the one that works on the earth. Amen? But their humility and their perfection, the Holy Spirit is like, when I hear the name of Jesus, I can't help but glorify the Son. I can't help but glorify him. See, we have authority issues on the earth. I could get into the, you know, we think about the authority of between a husband and wife, even. And what the husband, being the head of the home, it's to lift up his wife. If we really understood what authority meant and its proper usage in the world, in families, and marriages, man, we would have a whole lot less problems, huh? Lord, I pray that we would understand authority in our homes. Proper authority blesses everybody. My authority, even as a pastor, do I have authority here? A lot of people may say no, but biblically I have authority here, don't I, Jim? But he... Ouch. So Jim doesn't get me off track there. You think of an authority of a pastor. It says that what my duty is to build up the saints to walk in their calling, to walk in what God gave them. It wasn't to lord it over. My authority is to actually build you up, to be a blessing to you. That's proper use of authority. the authority of a husband in a marriage to build his wife up, to encourage her, to strengthen her, and the wife to honor the husband. Man, we don't understand. We have the problems that we have in this country and in the inner cities because we don't have a proper understanding of godly authority. Amen. We have to have authority. Everything becomes mayhem. In heaven, there's perfect authority. There's perfect authority. I wish I could go on more on that, but I can't. My point being, if we got God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all being one, all being equal, and God the Father is ahead. But he says, look, this is perfect, harmonious. It's perfect. We think alike. We have the same hearts and desires. And what is it right now? To glorify Jesus. To lift up the name of Jesus. Can you stand up with me? I know we went a few minutes over, but I think that's because of dinner time. Can I blame dinner time? Can we just say, Lord Jesus, we honor you. We bless you. We bless you, Jesus, the name above all names. We thank you for the authority that you have over us. Lord, we yield to your authority. You're our God. You're our God. We yield to you. We belong to you. We belong to you, Father. We thank you that your authority means that you protect us. You watch over us. You know what's best for us. You want to lead us and guide us. Lord, may we yield in our hearts in every way to your authority, Father. May we understand your authority. May we understand the authority of how it works at home. May you reveal that to us by divine revelation of how authority works on jobs, in the government, amen, at homes, and especially Jesus with you saying, Lord, we yield to you. You are our King and our Lord. We love you and we worship you. We thank you for protecting us. We thank you for providing for us. We thank you, Father God, that you love us. Lord, we thank you that you only have good in mind for us, Father God, because you are a good, good Father. We thank you that every good and perfect gift. So, Lord, we just yield to you and say, thank you for every good and perfect gift. Thank you, Father, for blessing us as we yield to your authority. And so we love you and we bless you. We love you and we bless you. We lift up the name of Jesus, the name above all names. Father, we thank you that we're not rebellious against your authority. No, we yield to it and say, you are God. You are our Lord. You are our King. We yield to your authority and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen and amen. Have a good evening.